Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here the March 1st. We are into March, and thankful for that. We are 5 weeks away from Easter, walking our way through the Lent season. Wondered if you had spent any time with God this week thinking more about the sacrifice of Christ, or doing anything. I don't know if you've done anything where you've given up for Lent, but if you have or not, and if the Lord is spending time with Him in prayer has helped you this week, I hope it has. But we're in that season of the calendar year. A couple announcements as we begin today. One is, I keep saying it every week, but please consider now registering your kids for camp if you haven't already. For summer camp at Covenant Cedars, it really does fill up, especially the high school camp has filled up the last 2 years and has had to turn people away. And so make sure you get that done if you're interested in having your kids at camp. And then second announcement I've got for us today is that we've put together two new church directories. So one is the directory pictures and contact information of the different people that are all a part of our church family. And so we have a physical copy for that for you if you are here at the church. But if you're not, there's also an app that Pastor Jessica has that she can give you the information about that you can request to be on so that you can have an electronic version of our church directory if that's something you would choose to have. And then we also, this year, for the very first time, we did a business directory because there's so many people in our church who own businesses, do things, whether it's photography, tree services, or different kind of farming services, electrician, on and on it goes. And we thought, well, people would need to know this from our church. If you're looking for someone for certain things, we may have someone right in our own church who does that business, and so you can consider going to them. So that business directory we also have available electronically, but also physical copy at the church. Make sure you pick up one of those too. And if for some reason you have a business and you weren't in that or didn't know about that, let us know, because then we'll get you in at the next one too. We'll keep updating it now and again. But we thought that would be helpful for people to have. But I sure hope that your week has been going good and that you've had some good time alone with the Lord. Church family business I wanted to mention to you is that our good friend Evelyn Johnson, who's been a part of this church for a long time, she passed away here on a Thursday night, very peacefully, went to be with the Lord. Her husband Dale had died right during COVID, so 4 or 5 years ago, and she'd missed him lots. And she also had a strong faith and a love for Jesus. And so now we have this blessed assurance and wonderful peace in our hearts, knowing that she is rejoicing with the Lord today. And one day we'll get to get one of those big Evelyn hugs again when we get to go to heaven one day to be with her and all those others who have gone before us. This is another reason to really celebrate during this Easter season the enormous truth of our forgiveness in Christ and our eternal life in Him. Gosh, what matters more than the things that God has given to us in Jesus? Nothing matters more. So we thank God for all of His gifts. All right, well, we're going to go on now to our sermon here. We're in the middle of a sermon series, as you know, on the Ten Commandments, and we are somewhat nearing the finish line. We're on number 8 today, which is Do Not Steal. Before I get into this, though, can you remember what the 7 are that we've already looked at? Maybe you can try to think of them. The first one, you shall have no other gods before me. God is the one and only God. And so this commandment is the greatest, and it is the first that we would love Him with all of our heart. The second commandment was, you shall not make for yourself an idol. You shouldn't turn something into the most important thing in your life that you live for. It's got to be Him alone. The third commandment is you shall not misuse the name of the Lord our God. The fourth commandment, you're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's God's gift to you of rest. The fifth commandment, you're to honor your father and mother. And not just when you are young, but as you get older and as they age, you're to honor them and care for them. Number six, you are not to murder. Number seven, you are not to commit adultery. And now number eight, you are not to steal. You shall not take what doesn't belong to you, even if you can, even if you think it's your due, even if there's a loophole in the system, even if no one's going to notice. And you know, this commandment is actually quite revolutionary for its time, because in the ancient world, rules like this, you know, and rights didn't really exist. The wealthy and the powerful often exploited. The poor and the powerless and the strong just prevailed. They would take whatever they wanted because they could. But God was calling His people to a civil society, one where it looked after people's rights and property. For God, this is a moral issue that we would honor, a justice issue. In fact, the specific word used for steal in this commandment, do not steal, is literally the same word for kidnap. I don't know if you knew that. And that is interesting because it referred to people. Back in the ancient world, and sadly, even in still some places today, people are seen as merely property to be used, bought and sold and taken from their families to be used of others for their purposes. And so this command is actually talking about more than just stealing something. It's someone and their life. We could think here of Joseph, who was stolen by his brothers and sold as a slave. We could think of the Israelites, who for 400 years as a people were just taken by Egypt as their slaves, unable to live their own way or own their own possessions or worship their own God. Their life and freedoms had been taken from them. It's almost as if God is commanding His people, who knew this life, who had been oppressed by the powerful Egypt. It's like God saying, don't you now do to others what has been done to you. Treat others with respect. Their life, liberty, freedom, property, don't take what doesn't belong to you. I don't know if you've ever had someone take something that has belonged to you. It's a terrible feeling. I think the first time I remember having something stolen from me was when I was about 10 years old, and it was Halloween night. Me and my two friends had gone out all night, all around the neighborhood, a couple of hours, and getting candy on Halloween, and man, we had a good and lucrative night. And we were just a block away from my house when a couple older kids walked up behind us in the dark, and before we realized it, reached out and grabbed our bags. And my other two friends, somehow they held on tight to theirs and kept most of it, but mine was just gone, just like that. And I know it's just candy, but when you're 10, it's huge, you know. But I think for me, more than even the candy was the feeling of being so vulnerable and having someone take something from you, feeling that powerlessness and violation and disrespect that they could just do that. And you knew it was wrong, and they got away with it, and there was nothing you could do about it. They have something that belongs to you. Now, my example is not a life-altering thing, but maybe we've all heard of stories of people who've had a lot more stolen from them. Some people even in our church, and it hurts. Today, fraud is everywhere. I was visiting Wilma Sundin one afternoon at her house when she happened to get a phone call while I was there, and it was from someone who was claiming to be from her health care, and she believed them, and they were asking for certain information, and I was kind of listening in all of a sudden as this was going down, and she was scrambling for these personal documents, and it just didn't seem right, and it soon became very clear. Wilma was getting scammed, and it was almost working. Someone was trying to take what belonged to my friend, and they almost did. And so I told her to hang up the phone right away, and then she was a bit shaken, and I was just really mad. I mean, who could do that to a person, you know? There is evil in the world. There's also good, but there's evil. There are takers of what doesn't belong to them. This command of God calls us to respect people and their property, and especially to look out for the vulnerable and the weak who are often prey to others. A part of our trip to Israel that we go on every couple years is we always go to see some friends that we have in the West Bank, Palestinians, and they've got some Christian ministries there that they do, some Bible colleges and so forth. And so for over 20 years, I've gotten to meet different people in that are Palestinian and hear their stories and sometimes even their conflicts in Israel over land and property and resources. And you know, I just got to say that when I think I know what the solution is to the Middle East, I'm confused again. And just when I think I know what needs to happen, I don't. It's a very complicated, bigger than me problem. But when I was there one time, something that felt very much like a Wilma Sundin moment happened for me. I was visiting this older farmer in the West Bank, and just a very kind man who had land in his family for the past 150 years. He kind of reminded me a little of Bernille Warner or Steve Nordstrom or someone like that who's been farming on their family's land for the past 100, 150 years here. Well, he too was a grandpa, and he had a son who was a dad, and then the grandson, and they all farmed the property and so forth. Well, he was telling me how over the last few years, they had had very little rain and some bad crops, even some sections of their land that hadn't produced anything at all. Well, Israel had passed a law that if someone didn't produce a certain amount of crop each year for a few years in a row, that land could then be claimed and Jewish settlements could be put on it, even though it was in really Palestinian territory. Well, this thing happened right to him, some guy that I'm actually talking to. Through a law, his land was legally taken away from the family after 150 years. But it was a law that didn't make any sense and seemed very wrong. It seemed like a scam to claim property that didn't belong to you. It didn't feel right. The family's land was taken, and within a couple years, a dozen homes with a fence popped up around them in their backyard, and they could do nothing about it. Sometimes stealing happens legally. As Christians, we should always be honoring God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, doing to others what we would want done to us, respecting other people's families and properties and rights, being careful to do what is good and fair and just, and to even stand up for others like Wilma, who are being taken advantage of. I got 3 points for us to think about today, a little more about this commandment, and some scriptures for us to look up on each point. And so the first point is this: do not steal means Don't take what doesn't belong to you. And I want us to look first here at the prophet Amos in the Old Testament. If you've got your Bibles, look up Amos chapter 5. Amos was a farmer. He was a farmer that God showed him things, and he would speak up when he would see something wasn't right. He spoke up for the little guy. God showed him an injustice that was happening and how it wasn't right, and then Amos stood up. God gave him the words to point it out. I'm going to read for us a couple sections from Amos here. First is Amos chapter 5, verse 7 and verses 10 to 14, where it says this. There are those who are turning justice to bitterness and casting righteousness to the ground. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in the court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, you have built stone mansions on the backs of the poor. But you're not going to live in those mansions. You've planted lush vineyards, but you're not going to drink their wine. Because I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. The prudent keep quiet in these times of evil. But seek good and not evil, so that you might live. And then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just like you say that he is. And then if you'll turn a couple more pages to chapter 8 in Amos, verses 4 to 6, it says this. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we can sell grain again and the Sabbath be ended so that we may take market to market wheat? Skimping on the measure, boosting the price, cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor off with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings along with the wheat. The sweepings, by the way, were the trash on the ground and putting that also into the sacks with the wheat, but underneath so people didn't know they weren't getting a full bag. Amos is talking about here robbing people, but robbing them through unfair taxes and dishonest business, and how those in power are getting rich off of the poor. Amos is saying God sees it and he's going to take it away. He's talking about bribes and depriving the poor of justice and robbing them of what is theirs by not paying them a good wage, abuse of power. He's saying people are quiet because it benefits them, so they don't speak up when they see what's wrong. He calls them to have courage and do good and not evil. He's talking here about business and how people can boost the price of something, meaning they're charging you way more than they should. The Bible calls that stealing. Just because you can get away with it doesn't mean you should do it. Our goal should not be to take all that we can, but to do good business at a fair price, to look after our neighbor, not just ourselves. Are we taking more than belongs to us? Stealing can be how we do business, taking advantage of someone. We even see Jesus deal with this issue when he went to the temple. In Matthew 21:12, it says, Jesus entered the temple courts and he drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And he said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. Notice that. Jesus doesn't say, you're making it into a den of sellers, but a den of robbers. Why? Because the issue here is not first and foremost that people are selling things in the temple. It was that they were stealing things in the temple. The money changers thing was all a scam. The religious leaders had found a way to get more money out of people for the temple purposes by telling the people coming to worship they had to pay a temple tax. But the Roman coins that they all had a picture of a Roman god on them. So the religious leaders said, we're not allowing those Roman coins here in the temple. You've got to exchange those Roman coins for a Jewish coin. But then they would charge you an enormous fee to do that. And the people just had to pay it, because what else could they do? And so it was all a corrupt system. And the people who sold doves and goats for sacrifice were known for charging twice and triple what they were worth because they could. They were taking advantage of the people coming to pray and to obey God and to offer sacrifices and obedience. Religion had begun to take advantage of the people and become big business and corrupt just like the world. And so Jesus is turning over the tables. He's addressing the sin of stealing and greed and corruption, just like Amos did. So do not steal, see, means don't take advantage of people, even if you can. Don't take more than you should. Don't be like the world who will do anything for a dollar. All is fair in business and capitalism. No. Do good. Be mindful of others. Charge only that which is right. Don't rip people off. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. This could be the guy who sells you an $8 bag of popcorn at the movies. I mean, it could be you selling a car but hiding some of the issues to get more money for that car. It could be convincing, like I did, my sister when we were younger, to buy all of the junk from my room so that I could get her allowance to go buy something new that I wanted from the store. It could be the government taking from us more than they should, unfair taxes. It could be stealing by us not paying our taxes. It could be borrowing from someone when we know we're never going to give it back. It could be stealing from our employer by not putting in a full day's work, but taking a full day's pay. It could be using our business card for personal items. This, you see, may just be what everybody else does and how the world works, but it shouldn't be us. We're called to a higher standard, to not take what doesn't belong to us. Do you know that the prophet Malachi, he even connects this with God and our tithes and offerings? In Malachi 3, 6 through 10, it says this, I, the Lord, don't change so that your descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. But ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept my laws. Return to me and I'll return to you. But you ask, how are we to return? And I say, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not even be enough room to store it. So here we read in the Bible, Malachi is telling us we can even rob God when we don't give to him what he has asked of us. When we take for ourselves from our paychecks and give nothing back to God like he has commanded us, we are taking what actually is his. It doesn't belong to us. When I got married to Carrie, she was strict about this. She had always tithed, and I had become pretty laxed in it, to be honest. I gave, but maybe not 10%, or I only gave when I had the money or felt like I could or something like that. But Carrie, she had this faith, and she was far more disciplined than me. And she taught me to give even when we don't think we got it. Because God has always got us, and he provides. And that giving is like a faith and a trust in him as well. And that money is not ours. And so we began to tithe from day one in our marriage, 10% to God right off the top. And I can tell you, God has always taken care of us. Even when we didn't have hardly anything, he always provided what we needed. But I had to realize, you see, that this is not mine. It's his. Just because I earned it. He's the one who gave me the job and the ability and the health to go out and do the work. And he's the one really providing for me. And I wasn't supposed to keep all of this just for myself. God wanted me to give to him and to others that were in need. And to not just build up wealth, but build up the kingdom. What he gives, he's got a purpose for. I've come to grow in this area of giving. And now we just don't give 10%, but we realize that everything that we have is His. And so we want to be more generous. And I say all of this because it's been a growing area for me to look at what I have, to not just spend it on me, to remember God has called me to use some of what He has given me for His purposes and others in needs. And so really all I am belongs to Him first. So the first point, do not steal, is don't take what actually doesn't belong to you. It could be unfair business, cheating others, stealing from our employer, not paying our taxes, borrowing something with not returning it. It could even be not giving to God what God asks you to give. The second point, though, that I want to mention is the heart behind do not steal is I think that we would learn to become more givers than takers in life, just like Jesus. Listen to this great verse from Ephesians 4:28. It says this, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, so that they can share with those who are in need." I love that verse. It's basically asking, are you a giver or a taker? And as parents, we got to teach our kids this and help them see their responsibility to others. We don't want them to become entitled or spoiled or just takers in the family, but part of the family, helping do work around the house, sharing the load, and people who give, not just take. This has to be learned, to not just live our life trying to get as much as we can for ourselves, only dreaming of a bigger house and a better car and a higher paying job. But we need to have a greater ambition than that, to make it our aim to live like Jesus, who came to serve and to give and who thought of others more than themselves. I mean, this is where joy is really found, you guys. This is where that sense of purpose and real life and meaning to our day comes from, not in the getting, but in the giving. Are we raising up selfish people who just want more? Or are we raising up generous people who learn the secret of happiness and contentment is in loving God and others and giving and serving and doing something for more than just yourself? Where do you give? Where do you serve? Where do you share? And with whom? Who do you help? I read something this week that said capitalism says that money is yours to do with whatever you want to do with it. Socialism says money is the state's to be used for what the state thinks the community needs. But a Christian says that everything I got, all the money and property and resources, is a gift from God to be used for what God thinks is best. Do we see our money and our time and our stuff like that? Like it is not just ours to do with what we want, but everything we've been given is for our enjoyment, yes, and also for others, that they might see Jesus, come to know Him, or that they might have their basic needs met. Will we share? Will we live generously? Will we hoard away in barns? Or will we give? I think of 1 John 3:16-18, which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no compassion on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" It says, "Dear children, let us not love with just words or speech, but with actions and in truth." You know, you got to ask the question at some point, how much do I really need? Why do I keep taking more for myself, buying more, spending more, when so many people around the world lack the basics? Could I give a little more than I do? Can I begin to see that I got more than enough already? We are called to not just stop stealing, but also to start giving, to work with our hands, to make a living, to not just take from the government, but to contribute so that we can not only live, but help somebody else. Are you a giver or a taker? Which leads me to my final point today, and that is the difference between a guy named Zacchaeus and another guy named Judas. Judas was one of the 12 disciples But he had a problem. Greed. Money was really his God, not Jesus. He was a thief. We read in John 12, when Mary of Bethany brings to Jesus a very expensive bottle of perfume and pours it all out on Jesus' feet as this beautiful act of worship, it says in John 12:4, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected to this gift. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth over a year's wages. But Judas didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to whatever was put into it. Judas was a secret thief. He had a real problem. He was unable to see this woman's great offering to Jesus of perfume as a blessing and an act of worship, because all Judas could see is that the money was running down the drain. Not the act of love. He wanted that money himself and his purposes. We later see that this greed in his heart would become his downfall. In Matthew 26:14, it says, one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what will you give me if I deliver Jesus to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver, and from then on, Judas looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Remember I said how the commandment, do not steal, is also kidnap? Seeing people as property? Well, that's how Judas saw Jesus, as just someone he could get money from. But let us compare Judas to Zacchaeus. If you got your Bibles again, just quickly flip over here to Luke 19:1-10. It's the last verse I'm going to read. But it says this, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter to themselves, he's gone to be the guest at a sinner's house. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So tax collectors, and you maybe know this, were not very well liked back then because they were known for stealing, cheating their own people out of money that was theirs. They would take their taxes that they were required to collect, but also with an inflated fee for themselves. They became very wealthy off of others. Everybody else was poor. They were stealing. They were taking more than they should have. Well, here comes Jesus into Jericho, and a sin is a sin to Jesus, and he didn't come to condemn, but he came to save, and I think Jesus came at the perfect time, because it seems Zacchaeus was ready to change, looking for something more than what this world has to offer. Now, my guess is Zacchaeus knew also that one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, had been a tax collector himself before he became a disciple. So Zacchaeus may even feel like, well, Jesus might be open to me. And so he runs over to see Jesus. He even climbs up a tree because he was a short man. And that would have been a very humble act for a Jewish man, especially a rich man with power to do. But Jesus noticed this humility. He saw into Zacchaeus' heart, and it caused Jesus to stop and to say, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house today. And this was quite a stir, because no one liked Zacchaeus. And Jesus, here he was, most popular guy in town, eating in a tax collector's house. But I love this story, because Jesus is able to see who a person can become, not just who a person has been. Can we see that in other people? I would really ask you to think about that. Can you see beyond a person's sins and exterior and past to what they just might become if Jesus gets a hold of their heart and they surrender their life to him? Zacchaeus was ready for that change. Now, in our story, after spending time with Jesus, what do we read? That Zacchaeus stands up and he does a complete 180. The Spirit of the Lord just grabs a hold of him and he chooses to live completely differently. He stands up and he says, Lord, right here and now, I'm going to give away half of all of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, in other words, if I've stolen more than I should have, I'm going to pay them back four times the amount. And it's to this that Jesus says, salvation is coming to this house. This man too is a child of Abraham, which is an important line because all the Jews in that town would have disowned Zacchaeus and said, he's no longer one of us because of what he was doing. But Jesus restores him to his community and people and restores him to God. And it wasn't the good works that saved Zacchaeus here. No good works can save us. It was the heart of faith that Zacchaeus had in Jesus. He believed in the Lord. He was filled with the love of the Lord. And that caused him, with Jesus in here, to want to give, not take anymore. Do not steal is not just don't take the candy bar from Casey's, even though that too. But it's also just don't take what doesn't belong to you. It's seeing everything that we got as a gift from God to be used for what God has purposed it, to give to him, to not rob God and to not rob our fellow man, but to be fair and to be just and to be generous, to be a giver and not a taker in life, to bless others, to look after the vulnerable and to protect those who could be taken advantage of, to not let greed steal our own heart away from what really matters, to do good and to not do evil in business and in our work and in our families and churches and communities, working hard that we might have something to share. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.